Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to your favorite podcast, the Super Mamas Podcast, with your favorite host, Paulina and Bricia Lopez. Bricia is actually not here today for this intro. However, you will hear her on our interview. She has been doing a lot. I just feel like the more time that goes by, the more busy we are. And sometimes I am just pulling my hair and it's crazy. That's why this interview today was so good, because it kind of brought me back, centered me, and made me think about, it sounds crazy, but my place in the world and my place of where we are right now with everything. I was recently visiting Oaxaca and I realized that a lot of the things that are happening down there is because of the lack of water. And it's just been a very dry season. I know that this is happening all over Mexico and all over other places. And I think about how at some point we were like this here in California, like a few years back. We were in a drought and there was a lot of restrictions and there was a lot of fires and there was a lot of things that are happening that were happening back then. And it's happening in other parts of the world. It's really wild what is happening right now with the weather and people that still think that climate change is not a thing. Trust me, it's a thing. When I visited Oaxaca, I drove to places that I've driven before and the many times that I've go back and I've never seen those places that dry. I've just never seen it. So not only there, but in other states, in other parts of the world, sometimes I feel like, what am I doing? What am I doing here to help prevent that in the future? I know right now there was a lot of rain and we were so blessed that there was rain for so long. And now we're like, oh my God, it's so much rain, too much rain. So that's right now. What's going to happen in 1 year? What's going to happen in 2 years? I've had conversations with my husband about, how do we recycle water? Can we recycle water? I don't know. I'm going to find us an expert to bring on the show to talk about ways that we can save water, smarter ways. So if you guys have any tips for me, I'm in the quest to find a better way to use my water at home. And I think that's the best place that we can start. I know that sometimes we want to change the world and do things and we want to go out there and help people, but are we making a change in our own homes with our own children? And this is Super Mama. So it's like, what are we teaching our children? I mentioned this on the show, but like here in the States, when you open your water in the kitchen, in the shower, lots of water comes out. Even we were in a drought. There was never a time where you open your faucet and there was not water. But maybe if we continue like this, at some point, we probably will. So what are the things that we can do today that we can do right now to do that? And also because water is such an essential element. Our bodies are made of water, just like our guest Rocio mentioned. Everything around us is water. We cannot live without water. So what are we doing to take care of what we have today? I think we are in a very pivotal time in our planet. And I always talk to my daughters about, what is it going to be like for them when they're older, when they have their own children? Will they have enough water then? Will they have enough stuff? Will they have enough resources? I don't know. But water is such an important part. We always talk about hydration and drinking water and all of that. But also, water is healing. Water is really a way to purify and a way to cleanse everything around us, from our insides to our everything that's outside of us. And I thought it was just fitting to bring in our guest for this week, who is an amazing close friend of mine. We traveled to Oaxaca together last year with Rocio Navarro. Rocio is a healing artist who works with water intimately and creatively. She's a vaginal steam hydrotherapist, ceremonialist, spiritual counselor, energy and sound healer, and she also has a background on sociology. Her life's work is to provide education and awareness of the healing properties of water. And let me tell you, I have worked with Rocio, Bricia has worked with Rocio, and if you guys have not heard that episode of the first time that we worked with her, let me give you a little preview. go back and listen to that episode. Go look it up. But I remember the first time that I worked with Rocio, I did a vaginal steaming. And that night, I had a very emotional episode. I cried all night long. No exaggeration. Go back and listen to that episode. It was such a transforming thing that I did. And it was just steam. I had a water birth with my last daughter, which was very healing. And it was actually the best way to finalize my pregnancies. I had traumatic births and really bad experiences. My last experience was on water, transforming, life-changing. I wish everybody would experience something like that. So water does have lots of properties, aside from just thinking about taking showers, washing dishes, drinking water. Water is such a key element in everything that we do. So I wanted to bring Rocio and remind us of how important that is and how water can be a conductor of healing. So I hope you guys really enjoy this episode and join us next week. And yeah, also, I was thinking that maybe I should have another steaming and see how that goes this time around. I'm really curious because I've done a lot of work post that steaming. So without further ado, here is our episode with Rocio Navarro, Water Healing. Enjoy. Welcome to the show, Rocio. ¿Cómo estás, mujer? How are you? Where in the world are you today?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a blessing to be here with you all in your land. Estoy en Oaxaca, by the coast. I know.
¿Cómo sufres? How beautiful. Welcome back. You've been on the show before, but for those super mamas that don't know who you are, what you do, please tell us all things about Rocio. All the 411, just introduce yourself.
I'm Rocio. I do somatic healing in water. I consider myself a healing artist. I've been doing transformational healing through water for the past 11 years. And so what that is basically taking people in bodies of water to help relax the nervous system and to allow the nervous system essentially to unfold, unwind, especially from the stresses of life that we have. I also focus a lot on intergenerational healing via water, which has been such a beautiful experience and weaving with this body of work in the last, I would say, 10 years that I've been doing this practice.
I would really like to know a little bit more about this intergenerational healing through water. What does that mean?
Yeah, so just going back to the basics, water is everything. We come from the womb and the fluids of our parents. We gestate in the womb of our mother, that fluid. We are majority water. This planet that we're born into is majority water. So the way that I have developed this work with intergenerational healing is really looking back at the imprinting that happens when we are young, when we're in utero, and the memory that's held there. And when I do this work with clients, once I take them through that experience, there's memories that start to get unlocked about what it was when they were children, about what was happening when they were in the womb in utero with their mother. And, you know, with science and especially with epigenetics, now we have more insight and information that through ancestral DNA is that we have a coding and a memory from when we were already inside the womb of our grandmothers. Yes. Our mother was already there, right? Mm-hmm. So that coding, that memory is already inside of us. And so what ends up happening with the water, when I start to do this work, it starts to unlock memory. It starts to unlock that experience. But the other way that I'm able to work with water with intergenerational healing is majority of us have had some struggle with our parents, right?
No, not me.
What are you talking about? What? No. Not at all. Zero. No.
Hardly ever happens.
No, never.
I don't know what that would be like, but not for us. My parents are perfect.
And we're perfect, so.
Correct. And my children's parents are perfect, which is the most important thing.
Right. So you guys are the pristine family, the golden children. No, I mean, we all have our issues with the experiences that we come with, right? And so the work with our family is, as a sociologist, I also learned that it's the first sociological conditioning that we have is where?
With our kids, with our parents.
With our parents. And so all of those rules and understandings of life and how we respond happens there. And so obviously, the biggest challenge in our life is going to be the relational circumstance or the relations that we have with our parents. And so one of the things that I have been able to focus on in reconciling some of that trajectory, which doesn't mean that there's one method to get there, but I think there's also in our culture right now, we're starting to see that there's more of the breaking of the cycle, that there are more of us that are having tools and access to say, okay, I came from this story. I came from this trajectory. It's impacted me in this way, but how do I reconcile? And one of the ways that I have been fortunate enough to work with families that have been open is it's the opportunity to hold each other, to be able to be in presence with each other. For example, I've had several mothers that are brought by their daughters and they say, I'm ready to work something with my mom. Can I do a water session with her?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And in that experience, I'm able to take them to receive what it feels like to be in the water. But then it's the first time that the mother is able to hold her daughter after 20 something years.
Wow, that's crazy. I'm always curious. How does one, for example, for you, how do you learn those skills, right? Because I personally know you and you're my personal friend. So I know that behind of all the work that you do with others, there's so much work that goes into your own self. I think you were in silence for like a month or something for like, I don't know how long. And I'm like, if I said tomorrow, like from now on, I want to start focusing on helping other people and heal them and all that stuff. Where do you, Rocio, get that from? How do you work on yourself? What are the things that you do? Because no one just wakes up one day and says like, I'm going to be, you know, helping people today. And then you start helping people, right? There's a lot of work that goes into it. And a lot of people don't know. They think that you wake up and you're like, I'm just going to go and heal people.
I mean, that's what I think you do.
Like she's just at the beach, you know, hanging out.
It's kind of, what is that movie? Legally Blonde. I think she woke up one day and said, today I'm going to heal people. That's how I think it happened. I'm just going to go to Harvard today.
You know? But then little do they know that Rocio was in silence for like 3 months or something. I don't know, in a mountain somewhere. And we're like, okay. Are you there? Are you okay? Yeah.
That's a great question. So I think for me, it was a pain point. There was a point in my life that I was in so much pain that I had to lean into the curiosity of what would take me to the next stage because everything that I was doing was not working. And so I hit a wall in my life. 12 years ago, I was severely depressed. A lot of my childhood memories, trauma started coming up. And what I was doing wasn't working. My idealism for changing the world, I had hit a wall. My body literally had shut down. I had had a nervous breakdown. I couldn't walk for a couple of days because my nervous system was like, everything you're doing and trying to do is not working. You need to slow it down. And that really became part of the catapulting experience of what would take me on this journey of more than anything, it wasn't about healing people. It was about me finding myself and me healing myself. And through that default, I was able to land and walk this beautiful path. And it hasn't been easy. It requires a lot of commitment. And yes, I was in silence and I have been in silence. And that's part of my practice. When I first left my life, I would say that catapulted me on this journey. I was in Central America. I ended up at a meditation center there for 9 months. I prepared to be in silence for my first bouts of silence for 50 days. And that experience really set the foundation for everything else that was to come. It gave me insight of what I would be moving into. My intuition started getting developed in ways that if I had stayed and chosen the life that I had before or tried to make it work, I don't think I would have discovered this other path that I am on and that I'm still uncovering, discovering.
Yeah.
So no, it hasn't been easy. And even right now, I'm on a coconut water fast, right? Like, yo soy comelona and I love to eat some good food. And so who wants to put themselves through a process where you're like, okay, I'm going to inhibit a desire for a couple of days to be able to just purify and cleanse. What does that do? It opens up senses. I mean, this is just my way, but I think there's ways that we're always seeking how to lean into our senses and our way of connection in deeper ways. And that has been part of my trajectory.
I love that. This super quickly, I went to my yearly checkup with a doctor and I was discussing with the doctor some issues that I'm having around anxiety and things. And I was like, I love to eat when I'm anxious and I'm just trying to like figure out what's best. I want to stay healthy. Kid you not, within 5 minutes, and I'm telling you, I saw this doctor like a year ago. She prescribed me antidepressants. Like yesterday, I walked out of that doctor's office with a prescription for antidepressants. And I was like, you saw me for like 10 minutes. You asked me 4 questions and I told you, and then you just easily gave me this. I was like, that is wild to think, because I think all of us, as we get older and as we live this life, we're just trying to find those answers. We're just trying to feel better about ourselves. You were saying like 12 years ago, you hit a wall. You were like, I don't know what to do. More when we live in this country and we have so much happening and this world in general, it's very easy to have access to those kind of things. Like, here you go. Here's a prescription. Go have she assured me they were not antidepressants, but I Googled it and it was like, so antidepressant. And I was like, there has to be other ways. Like, there has to be other things to get you to where you are. But I know that it takes work. I know that it's not going to be overnight. I know that we all want that easy, fast solution. But I'm bringing this up in the conversation because you took the hard way to get better. And it took so long for you to get better. And there's a lot of work that goes into healing. And not only that, but just also trying to heal other people. When now we live in a world where everything we want is easy and like we want to feel better and heal all traumas. And it's like, but it's not addressing the issue. We're not addressing my issue of why I'm anxious or why I choose food as a way to deal with my anxiety. It's just a band-aid. And I think like a lot of the instructions were like, don't stop taking it without supervision. And I was like, then I don't want to take it. You know, I don't want to take it because then I don't know if that's good. I brought this to the conversation because I feel like there's other ways. There are other ways. And some of that is the work that you do to heal all of those, to figure out why you're anxious, to figure out where this is coming from. How do you deal with those? Because if it's not one thing, maybe next month it's going to be a different thing. And, you know, it's just, we live in such a world where you just want everything aquí, ahorita, ya, that I think it's commendable what you do with helping other people.
Thank you. I think you hit it right on the spot that especially the medical system is very disjointed and it's very disconnected, right? And so the prescription, the pill popping, the here's this that's available is only treating the symptom, but not the cause. And we hear this over and over and over again, right? And so a simple question as to why is depression depression? Why are you depressed? What's in your heart? What's the longing that you have? Or if it's anxiety, what are you anxious about? What are the tools that can help you to go into that deeper questioning and exploration of what's actually there so that you can really see what the need is actually trying to communicate? I always say that in terms of our emotional development, we often focus on the emotion as the point. It's the peak. It's like a wave. We're able to define the peak, but we hardly ever spend time, okay, if the emotion is this, what's the actual need underneath that emotion? If I'm sad, why is it that I'm sad? If I'm anxious, why is it that I'm anxious? If I'm angry, why am I angry? And what is the need that is trying to get fulfilled right now? And those are the things that I think right now in our collective sphere, we're starting to have more skill around. But this is innately what we come from. It's the questioning of the heart. That's why in a lot of indigenous practices around the world, this was what was supported. I remember I went on this whole journey. I studied sociology. Sociology is my background, but I wanted to go into public health. And so I had applied. I was thinking of applying to a school called the California Institute of Integral Studies. And I remember listening to the department chair speak to the medical anthropology students, and it really shifted my perspective. Little did I know that I eventually would go into the healing field. And I'm saying this to you because it's just going to give some context in terms of how our system works or has worked. There was a pilot program that she had developed because she saw that in the West, we look at things very segregated, very disjointed. We're not looking at the whole person as a whole person or a whole system. And so one of the things that she did, she's like, you know what? I'm going to do a pilot program where we get a patient and we sit them at the center And I'm going to get 7 different medical professionals and healers to give their diagnosis to see what the consensus is.
Oh, wow.
That approach, right? Like the fact that there was a medical doctor, there was an RN, there was an acupuncturist, there was a Native American healer. And I can't remember who the other 2 or 3 were. And the example that she gave was like, there's a patient in the center and the patient is saying, I'm having heart condition. And the medical doctor will say, because you're dealing with this, I'm going to give you this particular type of medication to treat it. And the naturopath will say, well, you're treating the symptom, but then now I have to worry about detoxing the liver and the other issues, because now you're giving medication that are going to cause all these secondary effects. And then comes the input of the Native American healer that says, there's an issue of the heart. Something happened to you that you haven't been able to heal from. What is longing there? What affected you?
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to just see the approach, that they were all approaching this particular diagnosis in a different way. And I just wonder if we would remember that when we go to the medical doctor, that we're soliciting professional advice, but that if we could remember that that's not the end all be all and that that's the only solution to it.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, because I was asking my husband, I was like, well, who do I ask if this is right or wrong? You know, that I was just prescribed antidepressants out of nowhere. Like, you haven't treated me. How do you know? But I just think like we are in this super fast society where we're just like, we don't want to think about where the root problem is. But I know that there's a lot of diseases that come from emotional things, and it's just how the body reacts. And the more that people lean into that and know that, I think they can find other solutions like you, other healers. But what are other benefits of working with water, or like at home, me, that I am not, Rocio is in Huatulco right now and I don't have a time to access to you. Like, how could we utilize water around what we do every day to help us start understanding how it works until we get a turn with you?
Because it's coming. So the simplest thing that we forget about is hydration.
Yes.
There's a lot of studies that show that a lot of diseases actually come from dehydration in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Even contemplating what type of water we drink or consuming water more regularly is one practical needed way that we can start relating to water and also using that as our sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple and we forget. Right?
Yeah.
That the quality of the water that we're drinking, what is the quality of the water? What's the impact of the water in our body too? Especially with the microplastics, more people are understanding the impact of that. So just shifting our responsibility in terms of what we are relating to.
I think the responsibility part is huge. You are in Oaxaca and you know that right now we're going through a drought over there. Not just in Oaxaca, but I think all Mexico. And we were in a drought here in LA a few years ago. And like, there's droughts everywhere in the world. And I wonder if, with our conversation, I wonder if, I don't know if also now that I'm an adult, I'm looking at all the problems in the world. And I don't know if it's like, is it the less water, the more problems? You know, I feel like there's so much things that are happening down there or in Mexico. And like, there's no water. So there's no trees. So there's no chile. So there's no this. So there's no that. The consequences of the water and like realizing how important water is in our life in general, I wonder if there's a relationship between how the world is crazy and there's less water now.
One theory that I say is that we are mirrors, we are reflections, right? And if we look at the earth, it's a reflection of us too. We look at Mother Earth, she's majority water, it's a feminine energy that creates life, that gives life. And of course, it makes sense why there's a symbiosis between how we relate to the earth. One of my teachers always said, the problems that we're seeing, especially in the world right now, it's a mirror effect of what's inside of us, because we are the ones contributing to that. We're becoming the mirror effects to that. And that's the water. It's our emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
How are we being responsible to all the relationships that we have, to ourselves, to our bodies, to our mental health, to those around us, to the environments that we're in? What's the responsibility that we have? What are the thoughts that we project out into the world and that we act upon them unconsciously and consciously? Everything's a mirror effect.
Yeah.
So what's happening with our waters is essentially what's happening inside of us too. We do have a responsibility.
It's kind of scary.
There's power in that, and we forget. It feels overwhelming, but when we understand the responsibility, we shift the power dynamics. That's what we forget. I feel like part of our disillusion as humans is that we forget how power plays in our lives.
You know, in Oaxaca, when you're there, there's places where you go and they have like recipientes con agua at the door to get energy. So this is something that we grew up with, that we know how powerful water is around us. And I just feel like we need to take care of it. We live in a country where we open the faucet and there's just water comes out and a bunch of it. So we don't really know how it's affecting the rest of the world. But I do think that, like you're saying, a lot of the problems come from that and or this association with where we come from, which is earth and water and all of that. So this is a good reminder for people to be appreciative, to take care of what we have right now. We just need to be very more aware of how to take care of our water and everything. So I want to thank you for coming here again and giving us your time and giving us your energy. And I always look up to people like you because I feel like I me estreso por just dumb things. I look at my life and sometimes I'm like, am I supposed to live like this? You know, like this stress. And then I'm like, you know, maybe I should just leave everything behind. I talked about this with Bridget the other day. I was like, should we just leave everything behind and just leave somewhere in the mountains? Sometimes that's what you need to do. And that's what you're doing. So good for you, girl.
Yeah, I will say it doesn't come easy.
It doesn't.
So I think we always imagine.
The grass is greener.
Exactly. This is the frailty of the mind, is that we always imagine that it's better on the other side. I think life is challenging us to like live as presently as possible. And what tools can we develop and have to be able to be present and to enjoy the moment as best as we can? But that's a tricky one. You have to really focus. And doesn't mean that the past doesn't affect you. Doesn't mean that the future isn't anticipated. That's part of our human condition. But just how do we, as best as possible, stay present with the moments that we have?
Yeah. Well, thank you again so much, Rocio.
Can't wait to see you again.
Yeah. Can you please let the Supermamas know where can they find you? How can they follow you? I know you're coming back to LA soon and you're going to start doing some sessions. So please let us know where we can book you.
Yeah, of course. So I am on Instagram as water_healing, and I have a website and it's www.rocionavarro.org. I am having a big Mother's Day event weekend. I am inviting intergenerational women to come together and do some healing work in the water for Mother's Day weekend. So I have all that information on the website. I'll be posting more about that. So if anyone's interested, just send me a DM through Instagram. And it's always a pleasure connecting with you all. And I'm glad que estoy en la tierra de ustedes because it's a place that has gifted me a lot. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rocio.
I've worked with you before and I can vouch and give you a testimonial. It was beautiful and I admire your work and I hope we get to see each other very, very soon. So thank you for being on the show. And
yeah, I need to see you for a steaming, girl.
Yeah, come through.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon. Thank you, Rocio.
Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in el Face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love. And
see you next week, Supermamas!